God is good. We serve a good God who designed life in such a way that, man, he wants us to have an abundant life. That things like the Sabbath aren't just rules that are meant to give us something extra to do. There's something to help us live the kind of lives that he designed and created us to live. A two-week break from our series on the book of Acts. If you've been with us, you know that we've been preaching through the book of Acts. We started at the beginning. We're going to go all the way through the end. But we take some breaks in the middle, you know. Acts is a long book. So we're going to take a quick two-week break for a couple reasons. One, this week, I just wanted to preach on the Sabbath because, I don't know about you, but this is a message that God convicted me of. It's something that sometimes God will lay something on my heart that the congregation needs to hear it, but I need to hear it as well. And so this is one of those messages that God has just kind of been working with me on, making me see how I need to make sure that my life aligns with his word so I can have the abundant life that he wants me to have. And then next week, we're going to be taking a break because we want to kick off our fall Hope Smalls push. That we at Hope Chapel, we've been doing small groups for a while, but we're really trying to get people more plugged in. That some of you are plugged into a small group already, but a lot of us aren't yet. And so next week, we've taken the liberty of making lunch plans for you. So next week, we're going to, after the Sunday morning service, we're going to have a tailgate party in the parking lot right out front. And the different small groups that meet throughout our church throughout the week, they're going to be set up to just share some food, share some drink, share some appetizers. And so you can go and you can just check out the different small groups that meet across our campus, that meet throughout the week, and just kind of see what they're like. See if there's anything that maybe God would just want you to get plugged in to them. Some of them are groups that have been meeting for a while, but we also have a lot of brand new groups that will just be starting up this fall. And so we're really going to be kind of trying to recruit people to join and be a part of those new groups. Amy already shared a little bit. We have groups for parents, for young adults, groups that just meet in a certain part of the valley that anybody can join into. And so that's going to be exciting. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 20. Genesis chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 20. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to kind of outline today's sermon a little bit. That just as we celebrate Labor Day, we celebrate the work that God has given us, the ability to be a part of his kingdom. But then also, what do we do when we celebrate Labor Day? We take a day off. We take a day to rest. And I think that's just a beautiful reflection of God's design for our lives, to work hard and then to enjoy a Sabbath rest. And so today's sermon is just going to be examining that Sabbath rest, that dynamic, that rhythm that God wants us to establish in our lives of serving him, of working hard for his kingdom, and then taking a step back and resting. And we're going to do that by examining what is a Sabbath. We're going to be examining who should participate or partake of a Sabbath rest. We're going to examine how we should go about doing that. Should it be something that's legalistic or something that we have some freedom in doing? And then finally, we're just going to look at why. What are the benefits? What are the reasons why God designed us to operate in this way, to take a Sabbath? So if you're there in Genesis chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 20, let's just pray over the text this morning. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us, that you gave us commands, not to just to give us busy work, Lord God, but to give us an abundant life. You designed us. You know how we were created to operate, and you want us to operate to full capacity. You want us to enjoy life to the fullest, have the abundant life that you designed us to have. And so, God, this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us through your word, that we'd recognize your commands for what they are, created and designed for our benefit. God, may we draw closer to you. Maybe we become more like you, more like the people you created us to be, as a result of spending time in your presence and in your word. We pray these things in your name. Amen. As I mentioned before, this is a message that I really feel like I need to hear. It's a message that I really feel like we as a church body needs to hear. We live in a culture, in a world where everything is fast-paced. If there is free time, we tend to fill it up with anything and everything. If you're like me, you love being efficient with your time. But the flip side of not wanting to waste time is sometimes we misunderstand or misrecognize a gap in time as wasted time. That this morning, what I hope that God's word, what I hope that this message helps us understand is that having a gap is not wasted time. In fact, it can be some of the most well-spent time that we can have in our lives. So if you have in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, show us how God himself established the Sabbath. For it says in Genesis chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." God had just finished creating everything. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. I think Genesis chapter 2 is telling us something pretty incredible. The God of the universe chose to rest. Now ask yourself for a second, why is that? Did the infinite, all-powerful God, who could speak galaxies into existence with the mere word, did he get tired? Was he physically like drained? Were his infinite batteries emptied? Like, no, of course not, right? Like God doesn't get physically tired like you or I. He doesn't have a limited supply of energy. It wasn't just for practical reasons that he said, "Oh, I'm tired, I gotta take a break." God rested because there is inherent value in rest. God rested because that's part of who he created us to be and who he is a being that enjoys taking a break from the work. He rested because it's an example for us to follow. In fact, some of the most famous commands in the Bible, if I were to ask someone on the street, you know, what's the most famous list of commandments in the Bible, what do you think they would say? The Ten Commandments, right? Do you know that in the Ten Commandments, there is one commandment that is longer, takes more words than all of the other commandments? In fact, it's about 30% of the Ten Commandments, of the words of the Ten Commandments by itself. Now, that's not to say that the number of words taken to say something means that it's necessarily more important. I mean, you have the shortest commandment, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal." We don't want to be murdering thieves, you know. But the longest commandment is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Let me read the first half of it. God says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work." This verse really explains to us what a Sabbath is. As we looked in Genesis, we start out by saying a Sabbath is a reflection of the character and nature of God. It is a reflection of the design that God wants us to live in our lives. But when it comes down to the nuts and bolts, these verses, the fourth of the Ten Commandments tells us that the Sabbath is an intentional, restful, holy cessation of labor. It starts out by saying, "Remember the Sabbath day." Remember. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need to take a step back and be intentional about remembering the Sabbath. We live in a world, like I said, it is jam-packed with stuff. Any free time that we have, we have to spend doing something, right? I mean, we have cell phones. I actually left my cell phone at my seat, but if you ever like go to and have to wait in line someplace, what's everybody doing? I mean, they're like pulling their cell phone out, they're playing a game, they're watching something on Netflix, they're sending an email, they're texting, they're on Facebook. Like, do we ever just sit and take a break? I don't know about you, but I lived a little while, at least before the time of cell phones. I grew up without technology. I remember in college was when I got my first cell phone, and it was just a phone. It was not a smartphone. And like, you had a lot of time that was just downtime. You know, when you were waiting in line, when you're driving your car, when you're doing those things, you had these breaks, if you will. Like, you could spend time to think. You could spend time to reflect. It was, for me, just being honest, it was a lot easier to have a healthy prayer life before I got a smartphone. Because I would have times where I was just reminded. I would take time praying in the car. I would take time like sitting in a grocery store, just like praying for people in the line next to me. I had that downtime. Whereas now, like I said, we just live in a world where we feel like if we're not doing something, if we're not moving, if we're not accomplishing a task, if we're not being, you know, entertained, if we don't have some sort of stimulus going on, we almost get uncomfortable. It's like something's wrong, that we're not comfortable just being. Like the video said, we want to be human doings. We just want to be on the move. The Sabbath is a good reminder that we have to intentionally, on purpose, say, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. In the Old Testament, where the law was not just commands for moral life, but literally the law of the land, how the people of Israel as a country, as a government, you know, functioned, they would say, one day a week, we're going to shut things down. The farms are going to be closed, the restaurants, the inns, like these things are going to take a break for a day. You're not going to expect to be able to do business on that day. We're going to establish, we're going to be intentional about taking that time off. If you're like me, it doesn't happen by accident. We might not live in a world where the intentionality is to the degree where everyone like shuts down the city or the commerce or the government shuts down one day a week. But we, if we want to actually take a break, we need to remember the Sabbath. We need to intentionally say, I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to let the busyness of my life just blend one day to another, one week to another, where every day looks the same. I need to remember. It is intentional. It is a rest from work. The word Sabbath in the Hebrew, Shabbat, literally just means to stop and rest. To stop and rest. For some, that's easy. For some, that's incredibly hard. Like I said, I believe in our world, we almost have this... this mindset, this cultural value of just saying you should be doing or experiencing something all the time. You know, it's almost like bad to just have silence. You know, it's a culture that's loud. It's a culture that's busy. It's a culture that's 24/7, 365, right? But the Sabbath just means, you know what, whatever it is that we have going on, we need to stop. We'll talk more about this later when we get to the how, but that's going to be different for each and every one of us. I think for some of us, the stop might be more related to entertainment. You know, maybe the stop is saying, I need to pause my Netflix marathon of getting through all 27 seasons of the latest show that I'm on. You know, for some of us, maybe it's that Audible book series, and I'll raise my hand here, you know, that you just get plugged into and you're just listening to it nonstop, and okay, I just gotta stop. I'm distracted. My attention is focused on all these other things. And I need to stop. But not just a stop for no reason, but a stop that is dedicated to the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who wants to have a relationship with us. And so the principle of the Sabbath is to say, whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's work, whether it's play, whether it's a million and one other things, can you take a break and stop and dedicate that time to the Lord? Can you say, God, I'm gonna be intentional about getting my other things done. Maybe it's planning ahead. Maybe it's having to do the work to finish up all those things on my to-do list, knock them out, so that I can take a break and say, God, this for the next 24 hours, I'm going to take a break and focus on you. I'm going to take a break and focus on my family. I'm going to take a break on making sure I'm living the life that you designed me to live. The Sabbath is an intentional stop or cessation of work dedicated to the Lord. Now, I'd offer one little side note on what a Sabbath is, saying that a Sabbath is not, it is not saying that work is bad. It is not an allegation or a conviction of work as somehow bad or wrong or a curse. The video, I think, did a good job of talking about how work can be toilsome. You know, we live in a fallen world where many of us go to jobs that we don't enjoy. You know, as God said to Adam, the ground will produce thorns and thistles, and its work is going to be difficult at times. And if, you know, even if you're a pastor in a church, there are going to be days where, man, you don't feel like going to work. You can laugh at that if you want. Being a pastor is a fun job. I really do enjoy it. But all of us, right? Like, we have those days where, man, we just don't want to get out of bed. We just don't want to go to work. We don't want to deal with those things. The Sabbath is not saying that work is inherently bad. In fact, God's word tells us the opposite. As that video pointed out, Genesis 2:15, God put Adam and Eve in the garden to work it and maintain it. Work is a holy part of God's design for our lives, right? Like, it's actually a good gift. Now, it is fallen like the rest of us. It can be toilsome at times. It can be frustrating at times. It can feel like you're in a hamster wheel just spinning your wheels. But work is still a gift. It's something that we can accomplish. We should work hard at whatever we do. Colossians chapter 3, 23 tells us that whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. The next verse goes on to say, since you know that you will receive a reward from the Lord as your inheritance. That whatever you do, see it as God's calling on your life. God's gift for your life. God's the means by which God has allowed you to provide for your family, to advance his kingdom. So give it all you have. The Sabbath is supposed to be this rhythm. That as we work hard, as we spend 5-6 days a week saying, I'm gonna give it my all, I'm gonna churn through, I'm gonna push through, I'm gonna push on, and then I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna rest. I'm gonna work hard and I'm gonna rest well. I'm gonna work hard and I'm gonna rest well. I would liken it. I'm not musical at all, Pastor Japheth. I'm so grateful for you and your musical talent. But I would liken it to music. If you had a song that just the entire song, there was just noise, just just one beat after another with no break. Everything was just a continuing crescendo. That's the word, right? Where it just gets louder and louder and louder, and it's, you know, just faster and faster and faster and faster. If there's never a break between the notes, it's just noise. Like, if you want beautiful music, there needs to be that pause, that lull. That God wants our lives to be in a way like a beautiful song, a rhythm, a melody that says we're going to work hard. We're going to have those crescendos. We're going to have those times where the beat gets fast. And then it's going to slow up for a second. We're going to have the chorus. We're going to have that break in the up-tempo. Our lives should be that rhythm. God designed us to operate in that way. The Sabbath is that intentional rest dedicated to the Lord that provides our life with that up and down rhythm, that work hard, take a break and rest. And it should be invigorating. It should be refreshing. It should be a blessing to you. The next point of who should practice the Sabbath, it's just a short point, but I think the Bible does a good job of making it clear. That in Exodus chapter 20, verse 10, it tells us, as we started reading before, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In the Old Testament, in Israel, the Sabbath wasn't just practiced by those who were observant of the law. It's interesting to note that the government functioned in such a way that it said, you know what, everyone gets this day off. You can be a foreigner from another land who's never heard of Yahweh before, but you still get a day off. You could be a cow or an oxen in the field, and you still get a day off. Like it's this design that God says, you know what, we all need a break. We all need a break. Even your livestock, your kids. Your kids are going 90 miles an hour. It's good to teach them, hey, take a break once in a while. It's okay to rest. We can have a day where we're not just going, doing everything. Take a break. The Sabbath design is for everyone. It's for everyone. Now, how should everyone practice the Sabbath? I think it's important to look, especially as we look to the New Testament, that the Sabbath is kept differently by different people. The design will look different. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Jesus comes under fire from the Pharisees for how his disciples were keeping the Sabbath. It says in those verses, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees saw it and said, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. He said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he, talking about David, entered the house of God, that's the temple, and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. It goes on, I'll actually just summarize these last couple of verses, how he goes from there into the synagogue, and there's this man with a shriveled hand who's there. And Jesus says, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or not? Is it lawful to heal? He says, you know, which of you, if you have an oxen and, or a sheep and it falls into a pit, you know, or a son, aren't you going to rescue it? How much more valuable is the life of a man than a sheep? Therefore, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus' point in these verses is that the Sabbath was not designed to be this legalistic rule that you needed to keep for the sake of the rule only. It's designed to be a blessing to you. That there is a difference between legalism and being devout. I think it's interesting to know these Pharisees, they're really trying to catch Jesus and condemn him. And they're telling him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. And the reason why this is such a trap, if you will, is because there's two different things that are going on. As the disciples are walking through the grain fields, right? And they're picking heads of grain and they're eating them. Within the law, it explicitly states that those who are landless, that they're allowed to, when they're walking through a grain field, just to basically have lunch, even if it's not their grain. You know, that if we were in a community of farmers and some of us didn't have land, that they would be allowed, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says they're allowed, those ones, they're allowed to, you know, to eat, to survive, to not have to starve. That the law itself, the actual writings of the Bible, don't forbid what they were doing. But the Pharisees were actually referring to the rabbinic law. These additional commands that when it comes to the Sabbath, the rabbis had actually developed this extensive, detailed, in-depth prescription of laws. That they had actually had 39 different laws that they spelled out what you were allowed and not allowed to do on the Sabbath. That in addition to the law given by Moses, the rabbinic law said, you know, there's these 39 things that we're going to define work for you. You can walk this distance, but no more. They included things like writing. Like you were allowed to write one letter, but if you wrote a second letter, it's considered work. You're breaking the Sabbath. You know, you're allowed to erase something, but if you erase a second letter, that's considered work. You know, you're allowed to tear something a little bit. Like if you need to like open a package of food and get it out, that's okay. But if you open it all the way, like that's considered work. You can't do it. And so for the rabbis, they defined work as the disciples walking through the grain fields. If the grain was lying on the ground, like you could pick it up and eat it. But if you plucked it off, if you plucked the heads of grain, that was considered reaping and that was work. So they were breaking the rabbinic law. I mean, it was this, can you imagine how much work it would be to memorize 39 laws that were so detailed down to the point of this is the number of letters you can erase or write. There was like a law considered carrying. You could carry an object in public up to 4 cubits, which is like basically like 6 feet. So you could carry, I could carry my Bible from here to here, but if I carried it anymore, that's work. Like I just broke the law by moving that little bit more. This is how detailed and legalistic the Sabbath was for these Pharisees. When God gave us the Sabbath, I just want to tell you, church, he gave it for our benefit. He said, you need to rest. You need to enjoy it. But you don't need to be legalistic about it. That I'm not coming here today telling you, wanting you just to feel intensely guilty because you did something on a Sunday that was a little bit of work. Now, does that mean that the Sabbath, it's not important to be devout or to be intentional or to work hard at keeping it? No, it's not. Church, I would define for you legalism. Legalism as being the focus on the letter of the law to the point that you forget about the spirit. That we need to work hard at keeping the spirit of the law. We need to say, you know, we want to do everything we can to keep it, but we're going to recognize that the letter can be a little bit flexible, especially when it comes to something like this. Like, you're not going to say, oh, I have my son in the audience right now. If my son, who is, you know, sometimes, you know, he enjoys running around, playing sports, doing things like that. If he goes out and breaks his leg, right, I wouldn't look at him and say, I'm not bandaging that up. I'm not taking, do you realize how much work it is to go to the hospital and fill out all the paperwork for the insurance? Like, I'll take you tomorrow on Monday. You can sit with that broken leg. It was the Sabbath. You shouldn't have been running and playing around, right? Like, what kind of father would I be if I was so legalistic that I let my son like walk around with a broken leg saying, I'm not going to fix that on a Sunday. Like, that's obviously, right? Obviously not the intent of the guideline. The intent of the guideline is to give you rest, but there's going to be areas for flexibility. It's not this hard and fast, like you can just write down a rule and define how many letters, define how many feet, define all these things, what's working, what's not. There's going to be extenuating circumstances. But we as a church, it doesn't give us an excuse to say, oh, I don't need to work hard or do my best to keep it. For me personally, I think when it comes to legalism, sometimes I avoid being strict with myself because I want to avoid legalism when I forget that sometimes I do need to be strict with myself. I think at times for me, if I want to do a good job of keeping God's commands, I do need to maybe spell out how I'm going to do it. But I think the difference between that and legalism is that I'm not going to hold other people to my own, what I've spelled out for me. Like for me, I work in an office all week. I'm on the computer. I'm doing a lot of things related to that. And so for me, my Sabbath, actually even just kind of the day that we keep the Sabbath, the Bible points out, is that's flexible. Because for me, I to be honest, I can't keep Sabbath on a Sunday. Sundays are a long day of work for me. If I work less than 14 hours on a Sunday, I'm feeling really good about myself. It's like, oh, it's a restful Sunday. I only worked 14 hours. Right? Sundays aren't my Sabbath. So my Sabbath is a Monday. The Bible says, you know what, one person considers one day like, you know, another person considers every day the same, but each can do so to the Lord. Like for me, it's okay if I don't say Sunday has to be my Sabbath. I can make Mondays my Sabbath. So for me on a Monday, though, like it's important for me not to check my email because it's hard for me to unplug from work if I'm checking my email. That my office job, it's such that man, that's how I can practice Sabbath. I'm not going to check my email. I'm not going to do sermon prep. I'm not going to dig into my books and do those things. But if your job, in construction, and you're just working hard and it's physically taxing, maybe for you that mental aspect isn't so important. That for me on my Mondays, man, I loved, if I have time, man, go for a walk with my kids, go to the park and play with them there. That's a good way for me to relax and rest. Do something that's a little bit physical. But if your job is physical, if you're construction, if you're building, if you're a carpenter, if you're a stonemason, if you're, you know, whatever it is, you drive a truck, for you, maybe having a day where you read, that's relaxing. That's restful. That even doing something like going for a walk or doing something physical, that's the last thing you want to do on your day off because you're just tired physically. Whereas for me, it's kind of flipped. That, like I said, we can have that flexibility. It's saying, you know, the way that I practice it, the rules that I set up for myself because I want to be devout in doing so, I'm not going to apply them to someone else. But I do need to, for myself, maybe establish some of those rules. That for me, as I prayed over this sermon, as I worked through it, as God dealt with my own heart about how I should keep the Sabbath, God really convicted me of some things that I do. That I made a list and said, these are things that I'm doing on Monday, my Sabbath, that I need to stop doing. I'm going to make a list. I'm not going to apply it to others, but I'm going to make it for me because it's going to help me keep the Sabbath. And I made a list of things that I'm not doing that I really do want to do. That God has laid it on my heart to say, this is going to give you rest. This is going to bless you. This is going to recharge you by doing these things, by being intentional about it. So how we should practice the Sabbath is with great devotion and care, but without being legalistic about it. We need to have that intentional cessation of labor dedicated to the Lord. And in doing so, we need to do that in a way that is with great devotion. That at times it takes great effort, great planning to do so. But not be legalistic. Not be applying the things that God has laid on our hearts about how we should rest and keep the Sabbath to others. Not doing so in a way that misses the spirit of the law and says, you know, I'm gonna keep the letter of my rule. I'm going to do my list, even if it means doing something that is at the expense of what's good for other people. And then the final thing that I want to examine today is why we should keep the Sabbath. Why we should keep the Sabbath. And this is something that I've kind of been harping on really throughout the whole sermon. But Mark 2:27 tells us, he says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus actually says these words within that same story. It's just contained in the book of Mark rather than the book of Matthew. That same story of the Pharisees testing him, asking him why the disciples were picking heads of grain. And Jesus' point being like, why are you condemning these men for doing something that was for them completely restful? A recharge of their batteries. A way of getting alone. That we're just taking a walk. We're taking a walk, enjoying God's creation, picking some, it's like, you know, for, I don't know about you, but man, nothing sounds more restful for me than just going through a walk through like an orchard and like picking an apple from the tree and just eating it and just having a little picnic there, enjoying the sunset. That if someone came up to me and's like, don't do that. That's work. You're walking too far. You're picking that apple. It's like, what are you talking about? God designed this for my benefit, for my blessing. And if this is something that's recharging my batteries, if it's a blessing to me, like that's why I should be doing it. I think in our lives, we sometimes get tired. We sometimes get busy. We sometimes get this feeling of there's got to be something missing. We're just unsatisfied. We get antsy. We feel like there's a hole. Right? What's missing? I would submit to you, church, that when it comes to the Sabbath, what might be missing from your life is an actual hole, an actual gap. Don't try and fill it with something, but enjoy it as a break dedicated to the Lord. Because God designed you that way. Like you can look at it from a scientific, physical perspective. You know, those who try and exercise every day are not going to be healthy. Like you need rest days. From a productivity perspective, like businesses, you look back during the Industrial Revolution and they tried to just work people 7 days a week. Like people got sick. They didn't get as much out of their workers. Like it's literally part of our makeup, our DNA, that if we just work nonstop, we're going to wear out. God designed us to take a break, to take a rest. That is part of the abundant life that he wants us to have. Pastor Japheth, if you and the worship team would come. Today's sermon, I think, is one that as Christians, we're at a point where we've heard it before. And it can be easy maybe to dismiss. It can be easy to be so anti-legalistic that we just kind of walk out the door and forget about it. But church, one of the reasons why I decided to preach this today was because God really laid it on my heart for me, and you might be there too, as a point of conviction, because he was saying, this is something you are not being obedient in. And so church, I just want to ask you this morning, is Jesus Lord of your life? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Because that's the question that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart this week, saying, is God Lord of my life? If so, am I going to recognize that his design, his created order, is what's best for me and is something that I should be obedient to? Because if I'm honest, I have to admit that I've been running, I've been busy, I've had a bunch of things on my to-do list. And that in my own thinking, in my own wisdom, I've said to myself, oh, you know, I'd like to take a Sabbath, I'd like to take a break, but I just can't. I just got to get this done. This can't wait another day. Or if I do take a break, I'm just going to be so busy the rest of the day. I have all these excuses. Whereas at the end of the day, I would say, God, do I trust you as my God, as my Lord? Do I trust that your will is what's best for me? Do I trust that maybe taking this break is actually going to help me be more productive the other 6 days of the week? And am I willing to be devout, not be legalistic, but be devout, to put in the work that it'll take the other 6 days to prepare for the Sabbath? Jews in the Old Testament is really interesting. They'd do their gathering, they'd do their work, they'd almost put in like a double time day on Saturday. So then on Sunday, they'd have the food prepared. So they'd have that ability just to relax and rest. And church, if you're not doing that, if you're like me, maybe we need to take a step back and just ask ourselves that difficult question. Is Jesus Lord of our life or not? And if he is, are we willing to do the work that it takes to follow his design for us? Because God loves you. He wants what's best for you. And he designed you to operate in this way. So as we close, we're gonna sing another worship song together. But as we close the sermon this morning, I want to offer an invitation. A very practical nuts and bolts sermon this morning. But I feel like I never want to end a sermon without just making that statement that God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. That if you come to this church this morning, perhaps you're visiting, perhaps you haven't been here for a while and you're just coming again. But if you're coming and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you have in the past, but you've kind of walked away from him for a season. I just want to say to you this morning, God loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. That if you haven't followed his design for your life, whether it's the Sabbath or anything else, whatever sins, we all make mistakes. We all walk away. We all miss the mark for the way he created us to live. God's not wanting to beat you up over the head about it. He's wanting to save you from your sins. He's wanting to meet you where you're at, no matter how you've missed the mark. And in his love, he's wanting to forgive you, and he's wanting to bring you back to himself. He's wanting to give you the abundant life, the relationship with him that he created you of. He's wanting to give all of that to you. the rules that he set in place for us, they're not to beat us up. They're to give us love and peace and life. They're to give us the lives that we were created to have. And so this morning, if you've walked away from him, if you've been living in sin, no matter what kind of sin it is, I'm just here to tell you, God loves you. He wants to forgive you. And he wants to give you new life in him. For those of us who are living for Jesus, if you've felt convicted like me, that you're just not living the Sabbath like you should, during this last song, I challenge you, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe make a list in your own heart of how you can do a better job of keeping his Sabbath so that you can enjoy it and enjoy him. So if you would stand with me this morning, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, the altars will be open. If you want to give your heart to the Lord this morning, I invite you, come forward. We want to pray with you. If you want to talk with one of us after the service, please talk to one of the pastors, the elders. Please feel free to do so. Or if you just have a need totally unrelated from anything we've talked about today, and you just want a chance for someone to pray with you, these altars are open. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, this Sunday, this Lord's Day, this Labor Day weekend, God, we recognize that you created us with a rhythm in mind to take a break once in a while, to stop and give our attention and focus to you, to dedicate our lives to you. So God, this morning, I just repent of my own busyness. I repent of my own distractions. I repent of my own desire to do things my own way. And God, I ask that you would forgive me and help me to live according to your design and your way. I give you my attention. I give you my time this morning. God, for anyone in the crowd who doesn't know you, God, I pray, Lord, that your love would just be made manifest and real for them. That they would know that you love them. They would know that however they might have walked away from you, God, that your love is just wanting to draw them back to yourself. You want to meet them where they're at. You died on the cross to pay the penalty for whatever sins they may have committed, so that they could have a relationship with you, so they could have the abundant life that you designed them to have. God, we accept that sacrifice. And we give our lives to you. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. The altars are open. Let us worship together.